Thank you, Mr. Attorney General. I am a survivor of Oberlin College. Good evening. It's a pleasure and an honor to be here today. I'm so happy to be invited to address the Philadelphia Society that I will forego the usual cracks about Cleveland, including the one about the Cuyahoga River, which burst into flame, frying its vast schools of three-headed fishes. This is a sacrifice for me because, as a third-generation Clevelander, I'm well-versed in Cleveland lore. I went to school here and to college, too. My interest in art stems from visits to the great Cleveland Museum of Art with my sainted Aunt Gertrude, and I heard my first live classical music at Severance Hall just up the street. Then Cleveland was on the economic ropes, but soon after I left for graduate school, things started to look up. The remarkable downtown recovery you have seen around you today started soon after my departure. I don't think there's a causal relationship here. The topic you're to discuss this weekend, the creation, transmission, and renewal of culture, that's a lot to chew on, particularly in light of the events of last year. One thing that the attacks of September 11th revealed was the importance of our culture, the principles we hold, ideas we share, and freedoms we enjoy. Today, I'd like to talk to you about the centrality of culture and the humanities to democratic and civic life, the danger of American amnesia, and the possibilities of recovering our memory and protecting the best of our culture. In times of crisis and conflict, the humanities and the arts are often praised as sources of consolation, comfort, expression, and insight, but rarely seen as essential or even high priorities. But they are much more than that. Indeed, the humanities help form the bedrock of civic understanding and civil order. The range of the humanities disciplines is wide, their impact deep. The classics and archaeology show us from whence our civilization came. The study of literature and art shape our sense of beauty. The knowledge of philosophy and religion give meaning to our concepts of justice and goodness. The NEH was founded in the belief that cultivating the best of the humanities had real, tangible benefits for civic life. Our founding legislation declares that democracy demands wisdom. America must have educated and thoughtful citizens who can fully and intelligently participate in our government of, by, and for the people. The NEH exists to foster the wisdom and knowledge essential to our national identity and survival. Indeed, the state of the humanities has real implications for the state of our union. Our nation is in a war driven by religion, philosophy, political ideology, and views of history, all humanities subjects. Our tolerance, our principles, our wealth, our liberties have made us targets. To understand this conflict, we need the humanities. The values implicit in the study of the humanities are part of why we were attacked. The free and fearless exchange of ideas, respect for individual conscience, belief in the power of education, all these things are anathema to our country's enemies. understanding and affirming these values is part of the battle. The attack on September 11th targeted not only innocent civilians, but also the very fabric of our culture. The terrorists struck the Twin Towers and the Pentagon and aimed at either the White House or the Capitol Dome. All structures rich in meaning and bearing witness to the United States' free commerce, military strength, and democratic government. As such, they housed many of the artifacts, the manuscripts, art, and archives that form our history and heritage. The loss of archives and art, no matter how priceless, how precious, is dwarfed by the loss of life. Each life that was snuffed out that day was itself a work of art and a historical record. Each person who died on September 11th meant the world to others. I often fear that the scholarly tendency to over-theorize underestimates the importance of the individual. One of the clearest lessons of that awful day is that individuals do matter. Their decisions, their courage, their sacrifices, their hopes, their lives. They, not theories, are the stuff of history. Today, it is all the more urgent that we study American institutions, culture, and history. There is much that we have lost, but there is much that we have learned. Defending our democracy demands more than successful military campaigns. It also requires an understanding of the ideas, ideals, and institutions that have shaped our country. This is not a new concept. America's founders recognized the importance of an informed and educated citizenry as necessary for the survival of our participatory democracy. James Madison famously said that a diffusion of knowledge is the only true guardian of liberty. The humanities tell us who we are as a people and why our country is worth fighting for. They are part of our homeland defense. However, the principles of democratic self-government cannot be affirmed unless they are understood and remembered. And while we face an enemy across the seas, we also face a serious challenge to our country that lies within our borders. And even within our schools, the threat of American amnesia. One of the common threads of great civilization is the cultivation of memory. Lincoln's mystic cords of memory stretching from battlefield and patriot grave to every living heart and hearthstone all over this great land. Many of the great works of antiquity are transliterated from oral traditions. From Homer to the Beowulf epics, such tales train people to remember their heritage and history through story and song, and pass those stories and songs throughout generations. Old Testament stories repeatedly depicted prophets and priests encouraging people to remember, to write on their hearts the events, circumstances, and story that make up their history. We are in danger of forgetting this lesson. For years, even decades, polls, tests, and studies have shown that Americans do not know their history and cannot remember even the most significant events of the 20th century. Of course, we're a forward-looking people. We are more concerned with what happens tomorrow than with what happened yesterday. But we are in danger of having our view of the future obscured by our ignorance of the past. We cannot see clearly ahead if we are blind to history. Unfortunately, most indicators point to a worsening of our case of American amnesia. I'll give you just a few examples. At the secondary school level, the National Assessment of Educational Progress, NAEP, test found that over half of all high school seniors scored below basic, that is, below the most minimum level of proficiency in history. In fact, 52% of seniors thought that one of the Axis powers, Germany, Italy, or Japan, was a U.S. ally in World War II. At the university level, a study of students at 55 elite universities, as defined by U.S. News and World Report study, found that over a third, at 55 elite colleges and universities, over a third were unable to identify the Constitution as establishing the division of power in our government. Only 29% could identify the term Reconstruction, and 40%, a full 40%, could not place the Civil War in the correct half century. But it gets worse. Among the American public as a whole, a recent Columbia University law school survey, found that two-thirds of those polled thought that Karl Marx's dogma, from each according to his ability to each according to his needs, was or may have been included in the Constitution. Such collective amnesia is dangerous. Citizens kept ignorant of their history are robbed of the riches of their heritage and handicapped in their ability to understand and appreciate not only our culture, but other cultures. If Americans cannot recall whom we fought and whom we fought alongside during World War II, it should not be assumed that they will long remember what happened on September 11th. And a nation that does not know why it exists or what it stands for cannot be expected to long endure. As the nation's leading cultural agency, the NEH has, I believe, a role to play in the current conflict, both in understanding the war itself and in understanding our own nation. There are several things we can do to alleviate our serious case of American amnesia. At the NEH, we have recommitted ourselves to the core functions of the agency, including the preservation, protection, and exhibition of historical and cultural artifacts. We have reaffirmed the central role of scholarship in all our activities. We believe an important part of the NEH's role is to ensure the survival of seemingly obscure knowledge, scholarly editions, presidential papers, preserved copies of historical newspaper, lexicons of ancient tongues, all deserve and will receive the same enthusiastic support we give to television documentaries seen by millions. But most directly on September 17th, Constitution Day, through the words of our President, George W. Bush, we launched an exciting new initiative entitled We the People. We the People is a major agency-wide effort aimed at promoting the teaching, study, and understanding of American history. I am honored to share the details of our initiative with you. And you'll find on a table outside our brochure, which explains in some detail the various parts of this new initiative announced by the president last week. The We the People initiative has three components. One, we will solicit grants on projects and programs which encourage and enhance the teaching, study, and understanding of American history. The NEH will call on scholars, teachers, filmmakers, curators, librarians, and yes, that means many of you, to submit grants that explore significant events and themes in our nation's history, and that advance knowledge of the principles that define America. Proposals for the We the People initiative will be evaluated by the NEH's regular grant review process. Applications forms are available, and now I have to give the traditional customary website, www.neh.gov. So please check that out. Two, we will launch an annual lecture on the heroes of American history. We hope to hold the first lecture this coming February around George Washington's birthday. This nationally published lecture by a distinguished scholar will provide an opportunity for the public to learn about the lives and deeds of our nation's heroes. We chose this topic carefully. We believe that heroes exist. We don't believe that history is just made by vast impersonal forces, but that heroes do exist, that their actions matter, and that their stories are instructive and inspiring. They engender respect for our past and promote patriotism. Third and last, the NEH will sponsor a nationwide essay contest for young people on the idea of America. Participating high school juniors will write a 1,200-word essay on a topic that asks them to think about the tenets that define and unite our nation. The winner will be recognized at the Heroes of History lecture and will receive a $5,000 prize. We will encourage and hope to see strong participation in the homeschooling community, as well as among students in public and private schools. We anticipate that our initiative may expand over the coming years to include new grant categories and competitions, including a model history curricula competition, expanded summer seminars, and institutes to teach high school teachers history. And an expansion of the Presidential Papers Project. So I know these are very revolutionary ideas. More information on our initiative is available at our website, www.wethepeople.gov. You can go there to find information about this promising new initiative, and we would very much appreciate your thoughts, suggestions, and support. And perhaps even more to the point, we welcome your applications. Let me add one final word. In a time of conflict and crisis, we can draw from the humanities' deep well of wisdom for perspective, guidance, and even consolation. We can look to history, literature, philosophy, and the arts. But these resources are not available to everyone. Too many Americans, especially our young people, have been deprived of the tools of citizenship and the building blocks of the good and examined life. Without a knowledge of history, and particularly our own nation's history, students cannot understand the current conflict, the world around them, or even themselves. This is a challenge we need to meet and best. We cannot expect that a nation which has lost its memory will keep its vision. We cannot hope that forgetting the past will enhance our focus on the future. And we cannot neglect the great democratic imperative to give each succeeding generation a brighter light, a broader perspective, and an enriched legacy with which to face the future. Thank you.